Calling up the guest preacher today. This is Pastor Michael's brother-in-law. This is Jason Crayville from Orcas Island, and he's going to bring the word today. Can we give it up for him? Can we get excited? Can we get a little rowdy? Weighing in at 210, I don't know how much you weigh. But hey, just tune in this morning because something he's going to say has the potential to change your life. One more time, give it up for Pastor Jason.
Thank you, Pastor Quinn. Good morning, Life Church. How is everybody? 10 of you. No, I'm just kidding. Real quick, for those of you who don't know who I am, I am Pastor Michael's brother-in-law. I'm the taller one, okay? Oh, come on, you guys. I'm family. Just, you can laugh along. Anyways, I've been a part of Life Church for, since I've been on Orcas Island for 16 years. Life Church had a campus there. My wife and I moved there 16 years ago to help, at the time, Pastors Michael and Rashawn, when they had Eagles Rock Fellowship. And we met library, cafeteria, had our own building for a while, met at the Senior Center. And I've been a part of Life Church for a very long time. But now the Lord has taken my wife and I on a new journey, and we're in the process of planting a brand new church on Orcas. And it's amen. And it's called Encounter Church. And we believe that God wants to not only encounter Orcas Island, but that God wants to encounter the islands of this area. Amen. And so you're a part of that. We're a part of that. We're doing ministry together. And so I count it a privilege and an honor to be here this morning to be on this pulpit. So I just want to honor Pastor Michaels and Rashawn. I know that Pastor Michael's not here today, but hopefully he listens to this message and gives me a grade, and hopefully it's a passing grade. So anyways, are you guys ready to hear the word this morning? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Well, I hope that you are. I want to stir you up this morning that God wants to speak to you. The Bible says that his word is alive and active and powerful than any two-edged sword. So God wants to do something in your life this morning, and he wants to change you. And he wants you to become different than who you were than you walked into this building this morning. Now, how many of you experience this? A lot of times, I don't know why, on Sunday morning, you might wake up and maybe you had a great week. But then all of a sudden, Sunday morning rolls around and all of a sudden things start going the wrong direction. You know what I'm talking about? Things start happening. Your kids start acting up. Your spouse is being a jerk. You know, whatever. You're driving here and somebody annoys you on the way to church. Amen. You try to go through the drive-through line of McDonald's and it's taking forever. You know what I mean? This is fast food. What's going on here? It's been 5 minutes. You know? Look, the enemy will try to do anything possible to distract you from what God wants to do in your life every single Sunday. And I believe that God has something very specific to speak to you this morning. And so I would ask for you to open your heart, to open your mind, to open your spirit for what God wants to do in your life this morning. Amen? And so I want to pray. Jesus, thank you so much for this morning. I pray in these few moments, God, that I have to speak, I pray that your word would change us, it would transform us, it would cause us to be more like you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you have great things in store for this church. You have great things in store for the people of Life Church, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that this is a new season, and I thank you that you're doing something new and fresh, Lord. God, we give you all the praise, all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, everyone says, amen. Amen. I mean, how many of you know, or how many of us should know, that God is always with us, that God is always around us, that God is with you no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. He is right beside you. The Bible says that he will never, never leave you, and he will never forsake you. And sometimes in life, we go through what is called wilderness. We go through seasons of our life where we feel like we're alone, where we feel like, God, where are you? Where you feel like maybe you're knocking and you're answering, or you're asking God, where are you? And you've been praying and you're not quite getting an answer, and you're wondering, God, are you really with me? God, I feel like I'm in a season where I'm not quite hearing you. And what I want to tell you this morning is there is a reason for the wilderness. And some of you are like, I don't want to hear this. Give me a few minutes. I want to encourage your spirit this morning that there is a reason for the wilderness, that there is a purpose in the wilderness, that there is something that you can discover within the wilderness. And see, there's more to the wilderness than we even realize. And I'm going to show you through Scripture this morning. How many of you think that's a good idea for me not just to share my ideas, but to show you through Scripture this morning that there is a purpose for the wilderness. Now, when we think about the word wilderness, we probably don't have pleasant thoughts, do we? We probably don't think, man, that's a place where I want to go. I want to go hang out in the wilderness and just be by myself. The Greek word for wilderness is eremos. Now, that sounds like maybe like a nice cruise line. I'm going to go on the Eremos. Yeah. Man, Eremos sounds like a high-end hotel in some tropical island, doesn't it? Man, I want to go there. Well, after you hear what it actually means, you're going to want to run in the opposite direction. It means this: an uninhabited place, a desolate place, sparse or very little, lonely place, remote, forsaken, solitary. Have any of you ever felt that in your life before? Yeah. Maybe you're even feeling that right now. Maybe you even feel like, yeah, I feel alone. I feel like I'm in a remote place. I feel solitary. Now, look, based on those words, none of us would say that we want to be in the wilderness, would we? But see, there's a lot of things that can happen when we're in the wilderness. There's a lack of what you need. Not understanding why you're going through it. Not quite, you're questioning, why am I here? Why am I going through this? What's happening to me? Maybe there's an unfulfilled purpose. You feel like you missed out. God, why am I here? Why am I going through this? That there's you wonder about the future. You and again, you ask that question, God, are you really with me? I've asked that question before. I'll never forget when my son was in the hospital and we were there for 3 weeks. And I was asking that question, God, why am I here? God, are you even with me? Maybe some of you you feel there's unfulfilled purpose. You feel like God has called you and he has called you. And there's things that God has spoken to your heart, and yet there's an unfulfilled purpose because you feel like you're in this wilderness. You have unmet expectations and you've just kind of lost all hope. And in the Bible, the children of Israel were only supposed to have a 40-day journey to the promised land. But they ended up having 40 years. They went from 40 days to 40 years. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to flip the script. I want to flip this thought in your mind that there is purpose in the wilderness. That there's a plan of God for you in the wilderness. That there's a reason why you're going through the wilderness. That God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? We are human beings. We are finite human beings. And sometimes we try to figure it out. Look, we will never figure out God. We will never figure out God. So I think it's time for us to stop asking God, why are you doing this to me? And start asking God, what do you have for me? God, what do you have for me? What do you have for me in this moment? Why? Why did this happen? You know, we live in a culture and a society where it's like, it's not fair. It's just not fair. It's just not fair. No, look, we don't have the right to tell God what's not fair. He sent his son to the cross to die for our sins. That's not fair. No, come on, we need to realize that if you are in a place in your life that you feel like you're in a wilderness, or if you've been there, that Jesus is with you. That he is with you. So here's how the wilderness can benefit you. And you're like, thank you, because I'm not feeling very encouraged this morning. Well, look, by the time I get to the end of my message, your life is going to be changed. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7 says this: For the Lord your God has blessed you in all your work of your hands. He knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, you have lacked nothing. Man, that should just hit you right in the spirit, because that says these 40 years the Lord your God has been with you. In the wilderness, God has been with you, has been with the Israelites, and guess what? They lack nothing. They lack nothing. Even when you feel like you're wandering in the wilderness, you will lack nothing. Even when you feel like you're going through and you're like, God, where are you? God is with you. You might feel like you're lacking nothing, but I'm here to tell you this morning that God is with you. You might feel alone, but God is with you. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. That, now listen to this. This is in the wilderness. That he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And as he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you, come on somebody, with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing, check it out, your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Wow. Look, see, the wilderness will humble you. It will humble you. It will make you realize that you are not in control, that you are not the boss, that you are not the one driving the car. See, a lot of times in life, we try to drive our own life, don't we? We try to say, Holy Spirit, why don't you just sit in the passenger seat? Holy Spirit, you can be in charge of the radio. You can be in charge of even the navigation. But look, if I feel like I want to go a certain direction, even though you're telling me where I should be going, I'm driving here, Lord, so I got this, right? And see, a lot of times what we do is we don't flip the script. We don't switch seats. We need to let the Holy Spirit be driving our lives. We need to let the Holy Spirit be the one that's leading us and guiding us. And in that scripture, did you notice that it says God will let you hunger, but he will also feed you? Woo! See, a lot of times we don't want to go through the trial, do we? We don't want to go through the circumstance. We don't want to go through the wilderness. I have this conviction that, you know what, a lot of times we're going to learn more about God through the trial and the circumstance and the hardship and the pain than we will in the good times. Because what happens is we realize what's in here when we go through the trial. It really gets at the heart of who we are when we face something, don't we? Like when my son was in the hospital for 3 weeks, not understanding why, having tests, doing all this, and then I really get to get down to the bottom of where my heart's at. Do I really trust God? Do I really believe God? Do I really believe that he is in control? See, he not only let the Israelites hunger, but he also fed them. Come on, aren't you glad that scripture doesn't just say that God let them hunger? No, it says that God let them hunger, but then he fed them. God will test you in the wilderness. He will test your heart. He will test to see where you are at. Come on, and the hunger is not just about natural food. It's about spiritual food. It's about feeding on the word of God. Just like that scripture says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, that the word of God would feed us, that the word of God would feed our spirit. Come on, God's word becomes your food. Look, we like food, don't we? I like food. I like to eat food. We eat food every day. Look, we should be eating spiritual food every day. We should be eating our word every day. We should be devouring our word every day. Some of you might feel like you're in the wilderness and you're wondering, when am I going to get out of this? A question I would propose to you is like, are you in your word? Are you feeding yourself? Or are you just allowing yourself to die spiritually? Come on, feed yourself. You need to feed yourself. See, the wilderness is not something that we should be afraid of. It should be something that we embrace. We want to embrace when we're being blessed. Oh, God's blessing me. Hallelujah. I'm in a season of multiplication. Glory to God. God's doing this in my life. And then we come through a trial and a circumstance. We're like, God, where are you? God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? I want to flip that and be like, God, I'm here. What do you have for me? God, I'm going through a trial. What do you want me to learn right now? Lord, I'm in a circumstance. What are you trying to show me? What kind of perspective are you trying to change in my thought process? How are you trying to adjust my attitude as I go through the circumstance? I'm trying to get us to think of the wilderness as a positive experience. Deuteronomy 8, 14 through 16. Then your heart will be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through. Come on, say, led me through. He led you through. Who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water? Who brought you water out of flinty rock? Who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end? There's a purpose in the wilderness. It's to do you good. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans of good and not of evil. Good and not of evil. To give you, a future and a hope. Come on, God leads us through the wilderness. Aren't you glad that God doesn't just leave you in the wilderness? Now look, a lot of times we want to just get through our trial, don't we? We just want to, God, just get me through this, get this over with. The Israelites, 40 years. Now I know I was making a joke this morning, but I do feel like we live in a society and culture when we don't have enough patience to wait on God. I mean, for example, the iPhone 11 just came out, right? Aren't people already talking about the next phone? Like, when's the next phone coming out? Like, you can't even enjoy the one that just came out, right? I think in our lives, a lot of times we're like, we're just trying to move on to the next thing, and God's like, look, you need to slow down. You need to take a step back and allow me to work in your life through it. You know, we're just trying to get to the next place, and God's like, look, just slow down. Pump the brakes. Come on, the wilderness, it might be scary. It might be terrifying. But God's greater. But God's mightier. Like that scripture says, fiery serpents and scorpions. Come on. The wilderness might be terrifying, but God is mightier. Is your God mighty? My God's mighty. Do we serve the same God? I serve the God of the Bible. I know what the Bible says. It also says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. For I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody. Come on, this is personal for me. Is it personal for you? You know, you hear Pastor Michael get up here week after week after week and preach and teach and anoint and prophesy and encourage and exhort and do all this for you, to you. But the question I would ask you is, do you believe it for yourself? Do you believe it because Pastor Michael believes it? Do you believe it because Pastor Josh believes it? Pastor Quinn? Pastor James? All the leaders of this church? Do you believe because they believe? Or do you believe because you believe? That's where the rubber meets the road right here. I know what it's like to ride the coattails of someone else's anointing for a really long time. And look, when you finally get to the place where you realize I don't really have a relationship with God, that's like a wake-up call. Like, whoa! But look, do you believe that God is great? Do you believe that God is good? Do you believe that God is holy? Do you believe that God is righteous? Merciful, gracious, loving, a deliverer, healer, provider. Do you believe all these things? Then no matter what you go through, it's not going to matter, right? You're in the wilderness, you still believe. You're in the good times, you still believe. You're in the desert, you're in the desolate place, you still believe that God is great. You still believe that God is mighty. Look, we can't see God, right? It's by faith. It's by faith. It's by faith. It's by faith. You got to believe by faith. You got to have faith. You got to have faith in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You got to believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You've got to believe that God is greater than your circumstance. You've got to believe that God is bigger than the problems you're facing, than the issue of in the relationship that you're dealing with. You've got to believe that God is bigger. You've got to believe that God is more than the wilderness that you're in. You've got to believe. And when we go through the wilderness, it says that God will humble you. Ouch. Listen, James 4:6 says this. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. See, when we humble ourselves in the wilderness, God will give us grace to go through what we need to go through. God gives us the grace. He gives us the ability. He gives us the divine enablement to go through what we need to go through. We need to stop looking at what we're facing and start looking to God. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, in the Bible, there's many examples. There's a few characters in the Bible that have wilderness experiences. One is David. He was a shepherd boy. He was anointed king. And it's interesting in the scripture is when he was anointed as a boy to be king, to be shepherd, he didn't walk to the palace right after he was anointed and just like take over the throne, be like, Saul, get out of here. No, he went through quite the wilderness if you read his story. He went through quite the process before he actually became king. There's Mary, the mother of Jesus, as a teenage girl. And in the time becoming pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit and what that would have meant in the culture and what that would have meant to her as a teenage girl, the wilderness that she went through. I just don't have time to go into these. Joshua, coat of many colors, has dreams, tells his brothers. Brothers don't like it. Brothers throw him in the pit. He gets put into slavery, raises up, gets thrown back into prison, becomes prince. How about Jesus? Yes, even our Savior. Listen to this. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Yes, the Son of God was led into the wilderness. But there is a person that I want to focus in this morning in the last few minutes that we have. And his name is John the Baptist. And there's two key scriptures that I want to focus in on in regards to this wilderness. And the first one is this. It's Luke chapter 1, verse 80. And this is talking about John the Baptist. It says this. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Do you see that? Do you see? I'm flipping the script this morning. I want us to see, just like as John the Baptist was in, that when he was in the wilderness, he grew. Not only physically, naturally, but it says he became strong in spirit. He became strong in his spirit. He became strong in his inner man. He became to build up his spirit man. He became to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work in his life. And when did that happen? It happened in the wilderness. The wilderness, the desolate place, the place of isolation, the place of solidarity, the place we try to avoid, the place that we try to get out of a lot of times. I'm telling you, when you're in the wilderness and when you're going through something, man, that's the time to allow your spirit to be strengthened. Yes. That God wants to strengthen you, that he wants to encourage you. Right. Because see, sometimes it takes a wilderness to become who God wants you to become. Oh, that'll preach right there. Sometimes it takes a wilderness to become who God wants you to become. Sometimes you have to go through things before you get to the place where God can use you. And a lot of times, we don't want to go through that. It might be because you just don't like dealing with pain or you just don't like dealing with confrontation. But look, unless you go through, let's just call it spiritual growing pains. You know, we want this spiritual quick fix scheme, don't we? We want to get spiritually fit quick, don't we? God, if I just read my Bible 5 minutes today, once a week, go to church once a week, maybe serve once a month. I mean, that's not really building your spirit, is it? How about if you're in your word every day? How about if you're worshiping every day? Every day. How about when you're in your car, you put on your worship music? Look, we have zero, I'm just going to say it right now. We have zero excuses. We live in an age where you can get sermons on demand, music on demand, Pandora, Spotify. I mean, you can, you know, James even put on Instagram. He put the worship list set on Instagram. And if you're following it, then you could have put it on. And then when you came here this morning, you would have been able to enter in even more because you would have already known the songs. Look, we have zero excuse to build our spirit. We have so many avenues. It's on our phone. It's on our laptop. We got, you know, I mean, if I just think about the Bibles that I have on my bookshelf at home, I probably got like 20 or 30. I've got zero excuses. We have zero excuses. But see, what happens is when we're going through the wilderness, we want anything to do with God because we feel like God's not with us. And what I'm trying to show you this morning is that he is with you and that there is a purpose in the wilderness. Because, see, once you have gone through wilderness training, as I will call it, then in God's timing, you can be released. God's timing, I don't want God's timing. I want my time, Lord. When are you going to fulfill that promise? It's been like 5 months. It's been like 2 years. It's been 5 years. Do you know that God has spoken things to me that are 20 years old that still haven't come to pass? Wow. Yeah. And for a while, I was like, God, I don't know if you're going to answer these things. I know you told me, but I don't know. You know what I mean? Because it feels like a wilderness. It feels like, God, why would you tell me this and then not do it? You ever ask that question? Like, wait, I know I read in your Bible all your promises are yes and amen. You're faithful to your word. Your word is the same yesterday, today, forever. You told me all these things. And yet, Lord, it's been 5, 10, 15, 20. Remember, the Israelites wandered the wilderness for 40 years. Come on, it takes time with God. It takes time with God. We need to allow God to take his time in our lives. Come on, it takes time. Does it take time in the natural to build muscles? Wouldn't it be nice, right? Because every January rolls around, we all are like, I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to eat better. And like 3 hours later, we're stuffing our face with ice cream, right? You know, just like, oh, I can't do this, Lord. It's too hard. You know, we have zero self-discipline and self-control. I'm not saying all of you. I'm just, you know, for me, that can be hard. But, you know, let's call it the idea of being in good shape, right? I mean, the Bible talks about your body's a temple. Take care of it, right? We should take care of our bodies. I'm saying, you know, the Bible says bodily exercise profits a little. So if it's in Scripture, it's probably good for us to take care of our bodies. You know, wouldn't it be nice if you could just imagine what you want to look like and all of a sudden you just snap your fingers and you look like that? Like, man, I feel shape. I can run a marathon. I can ride a bike. I can do this. Wow, this is amazing. Glory to God. It doesn't work that way. Nobody's invented the magic pill yet that you can just take and the next morning wake up and be like a superhero. It doesn't work that way, Iron Man. You know what I mean? It's just like not going to happen. And I think what happens is we don't allow God to take the time to allow our spiritual muscles to be built. We don't want to take the time to do it because it takes time. Right? Like, when my baby was born, it's like, how do I change diapers? I don't know what's happening here. What's happening? It takes time. Okay, I got to learn. I got to do this, right? But over time, what happens? Become more efficient. Instead of taking 20 minutes, you know what I mean? Like, how do you, especially with newborns, you know, they always are telling you got to use those cloth things, right? I'm like, what is this, like a rag thing I'm trying to button up here, and you put it on and you pull them up and then they, you know, and then they explode all over you and you're like, oh, great, this is fun. I got to do it again. Okay. And she's like, but it takes, right? It takes a little bit of practice, get a little bit better, right? How about our spiritual muscles? We just got to work our spiritual muscles a little bit. And I think what happens is we want to be successful as Christians, but I think what happens is we do ourselves an injustice because we want to read, we want to pray, we want to do these things, we want to get involved with church, and we set such high expectations for ourselves that the moment we try to do something, we fall forward because we're putting too much in front of us. How about you just start with, like, if you're struggling in your prayer life, how about you just start with 5 minutes? Don't be like, all right, I'm going to pray for 45 minutes. I'm going to get up at 5:30 a.m. I'm going to pray for 1 hour. Then I'm going to fast all day. And then you know what I'm saying? Are you following me here? Like, we want to be successful, but we set ourselves up for failure because we're trying to do too much in the beginning. Look, if I were to try to go into the gym and bench press 400 pounds, I'd probably kill myself. Why? Because it's too much weight. It's too much weight. No, I'm probably going to start with the lower weight. I don't know how much that is. I don't care to know right now. It's probably not a lot, okay? I should go flex a little, feel better about myself. But you know what I mean? Like, spiritually, can we just get in there and start with smaller reps? All right, 5 minutes this morning, I'm going to pray. And then this morning as I go to work, I don't care if your commute's 2 minutes. Look, I live on an island. It takes me 7 minutes to get from my home to my work. Put some worship music on. Turn off the talk radio, put some worship music on. Turn off the sports radio, put the worship music on. Just try something different. Put some worship music on. When you get home, instead of doing maybe what you normally do, try to do something different. Maybe put a message on. look, I understand. You get home from work. You finally get the kids to bed. Your life's just crazy going around. Look, you business, work, dinner, foods, kids, practice, sports, games, all this you get. And you finally get home. It's like 9:49 at night. And you sit down. And you're like, oh, yeah. All right, TV time. What if you put on a message or something? 30 minutes, right? I mean, we have zero problems sitting watching TV shows that are go for hours, 2 hours. Come on, I'm just trying to encourage you. Spiritual muscles, you begin to build them. You begin to build them. Because a lot of times when we're in the wilderness, we don't want to do that. We're just like, God, just show up and deliver me, Lord. God, I know you can do this, God. But yet we don't want to do anything. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. The Bible also talks about James. Show me your faith. It's that whole thing. Faith and works, right? You can have all the faith in the world. You can have all the love of God in the world. Oh, I love God. I love people. I love. Well, I would ask you a question. Do you do anything for your community? Do you serve at your local church? Do you serve here at Life Church? Because the Bible says if you love God, you're going to love people. Look, we can say all day long that we believe. I believe that God's healer. I believe that God's the healer. He is Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, the God who has healed. I'll pray for people. I'll pray. Do you pray? If you believe that God's a healer, do you pray when your kid has a stomachache or when they have a flu or when they have nausea? Did you pray? Come on, God wants us to do something with what we believe. The second scripture is this. Luke 3, verse 2. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Oh, man. Woo-hoo. Did you catch that? The word of God. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there's a word in the wilderness. Oh, boy. Where's my organ? There's a word in the wilderness for you. There's more in the wilderness than you know that you want to admit. But see, in the wilderness, John the Baptist grew and became spiritually strong, and he got a word from God. And all that happened before he went into public ministry. There's a word in the wilderness. Come on, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever circumstance, whatever, and maybe you've been in it for a long time, but God is faithful to the end. He is faithful to the end. It was one of the very last things, I think it's in Matthew 28, in Matthew's account, and Jesus, he says all these things. He says, I think it's one of the last things, he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And he's out. Disciples are like, where'd he go? But I'm with you always. Always. God is with you right now. What are you facing in your life? What wilderness are you in? What desolate place do you feel like you're walking in right now? Do you feel like you're just wandering through life? You're just looking down, not quite sure what God has for you. You feel alone. You feel discouraged. You feel isolated, solitary. No one's with me. Where are you, God? I want to tell you this morning that if you're in that season of your life right now, God wants to grow your spirit. And he wants to give you a word. Wow. He wants to give you a word. Man. He is with you. He is with you. He is with you. Let's pray. Let's just take a minute. I want to ask you to do something. just as an act of faith. If you feel like you're in a season where you just feel like you're in that wilderness and you haven't found purpose and you don't know why, I don't care if it's one person this morning. I want to ask you to stand because I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Amen. 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 Come on, don't be shy. This could be your breakthrough this morning. This could be your day. Don't allow your attitude to say, God, I don't know. Come on, let this be your day where you shift it around and you say, God, I'm in this wilderness. God, you want to grow me strong. Lord, I'm in this wilderness, and Lord, you're going to give me a word. Some of you need a word from God, and I'm telling you, if you seek him right now, he's going to give you a word. Amen. Come on. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church, if you're by someone, can you just stretch your hand towards them this morning? Come on, let's just pray. Let's just take a minute. Let's just pray with our community right now. Amen. Jesus, right now, Lord, I thank you for every person standing, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that the Bible says that you are with us always, even to the end of the age, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you are with those that are standing, Lord. And God, in this season that they feel like they've been in a wilderness, Lord, some of you have been praying, and some of you have been asking God, God, why haven't you answered my prayers? It's not our job to ask God questions. It's our job to trust him. And I want to encourage you this morning to don't try to question God on why you're going through what you're going through. Begin to say, God, I believe that you are with me, God, and I believe that you are going to begin to grow my spirit. And so, Lord, I pray this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would deposit a seed of spiritual strength into these people that are standing this morning right now in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, I also pray for a seed of your word that is alive and active, your word that remains the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that this season of wilderness, some of you need to hear this morning, it will end. It will end soon. Some of you feel like, why? Don't ask why. Say, God, I'm trusting you this morning, Lord. I am trusting you. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would infuse into these, Lord, a new faith this morning in Jesus' name, Lord. A new faith this morning to say that, God, you are with me. God, you are for me. If God is for me, then who can be against me? In the mighty name of Jesus, all of God's people say, amen. Amen.